Today we finish session in our school sim. And our climate test. Except that we have to begin in the Mishnah Lamed Ches Amid Beis in the middle of the Daf.
Mishnah.
I'm doing the Heilige Mishnah. Hamakasha b'toch shmonim shonikiba. Kol damim shehira'a tahorim ad sheyetzei havlad. V'Rabbi Eliezer mitameh. How about if a woman became pregnant during the days of the Yemei Tehar of a Nikeva? I mean, an alternative could also be where you had two vlodais, one that was delivered earlier, one that was delivered later. Cases that we had earlier, where it's possible. It's possible that if you have a ben shiva or a ben tisha. But in any event, what happened was that one of the laydays takes place in the middle of the Yemei Tehar of the previous layday. Okay, so as was pointed out, we had the case of the Reb Chiya's children in the Beis HaMedrash. As long as the bleeding continues before the vlad is delivered, all of that dam is tohar. Whereas Reb Eliezer says, no, it's tame. Amrula la Reb Eliezer said, they tied it to Reb Eliezer. After you tied it, it's tame. Look, I mean, it's the biggest kal v'chomer that it's tohar. We're talking about dam keshi. Normally, we're mitaher even at a time when it's normally tame. Over here, it's coming in the middle of Yemei Tehar. So how could you possibly come up with the idea that it should be tame? L'chayru ma'abu mokam shehichmir b'dam ha'shofi hekel b'dam ha'koshi. In a normal place, regular yoledes, if there's dam that is coming at a time where there's no tzirei leida, there's no time of koshi. So there the dam would be tame. The moment that there's tzirei leida that are associated with it, there's tzar, then the Torah is mekel. And it's mechayiv, it tells me that this dam is the equivalent of dam tayar, so to speak. So mokam shehekel b'dam ha'shofi, in a place where if a woman is bleeding without any tzar, in other words, you may tayar. Okay, so she's still bleeding, the Torah says, no problem. Enudin shehekel b'dam ha'kreshi. So then obviously if now the siba of the dam that's coming is dam kreshi, because we know that she's having the tzar now of leda. So koshikin, we should be metayer her, to be metayer. Amar lahem. So he said to them, well, it's a nice argument. However, it fails the logical requirements of a kal v'chomer. Why? Because dayo lavo min adin liyot kinidon. Remember that the kal v'chomer always has in it this one halacha, which is dayo, that it's impossible to derive from a kal v'chomer, where you're analyzing something that's kal and something that's chomer, more than the data that's put in. And over here, you're deriving more than the data that's put in. Because, mimahe kel eleha, when the Torah was mekel, you're bringing a riot. The Torah is mekel on dam koshi. From where? The place where it would have been metame dam shofi. Very nice. Which dam shofi? Yemei ziva. We're all acquainted with that. I mean, if we may need that, it would not have been a tire. So if you may see that, very good. But nonetheless, the Torah said that this dam would nonetheless be tamei tumas nida, for shayer to nida. So over here, we do not have dam that is dam tehar, because dam tehar is dam that follows the vlad. Obviously, over here, because of the fact that there's koshi involved, we're talking about koshi bleeding now that it's coming for a vlad that will be born at the end of this process, yes? And that's what happened. Another child was born. Where do you see that the Torah was meiko on that? The Torah was meiko be meziva. Is this be meziva? We said either she got pregnant, or that it was a delayed birth, like the children of Ukiskis. That way you don't have to get into the question of Yesh Koshel in the failing or not. So it could be mamish, a full class birth. So Lamaisa, all that you could say is that this dam is not Zivas. So she won't need Shivas Nikiya. Fine. Very good. Maskim. But where do you see it's not neither? The Torah wasn't Matir Dam Nidas when it comes to Koshi, correct? Is this the period of Zivas? No. Well, by definition, it's not the period of Zivas. In the middle of Yom HaTzeiach. Okay. So who's to say that the Torah was Matir this Dam? Tanarabon. It says the Shishim Yom. Teshev b'dmei Torah. Now what's that? Teshev al dmei Torah? The yeshiva al dmei Torah is l'rabot ha-mikasha b'tok shmonim shal nekiva. It's coming to tell me that it's not just that she should be b'dmei Torah. She should be in a matzav of dmei Torah. But rather she should be yeshevas. That's adding that even if there's another siba of bleeding, such as that she's Mikasha, she's about to deliver another baby, that it's also considered to be Tahar as long as it's bleeding up to the point that the blood is Yotze. For Rabbi Eliezer, Mitame, Rabbi Eliezer doesn't hold it. There's Drosh and he's Mitame. Amrula Rabbi Eliezer, Uma b'makom shehichmir b'shofi, namely, shelifnei havlad, in a place where the Torah was machmir on a woman who's bleeding before this laid, where there was no tsar at the time, so it was pure shofi. Nonetheless, heikel, the Torah was meikel. Now, this note that this is a different kavod. The Torah was meikel on shofi shela achar hablad. The same bleeding that comes during the Yemei Tehar is tar. She's bleeding before the delivery without any pains to associate it with the delivery, tummy. She's bleeding after the delivery, the same dam, tahar. No. So now, kosher king, makom shehekel. How about learning it from the fact that the Torah was meko where there are pains of delivery, namely bekoshi, even before she gives birth? So kosher king, koshi, after she gives birth, should certainly be okay. Now, this phraseology changes the interrelationship of the elements in the Kal Vachomer, correct? The way that we phrase the Kal Vachomer in the Mishnah is that we're saying, if a mokum where we're machmir on dam, which is before the Leda, nonetheless we're makel on dam, which is koshi, before the Leda, Koshikain in a place where we're Mekel Achar HaLeda, which is a case of Shofi L'Achar HaLeda, we should be Mekel B'dam HaKoshi.
Those are separate dams.
In this case, there's Koshi L'Achar HaLeda, because it happened to be that she had another Leda. It doesn't mean that it's Koshi associated with a previous Leda. Okay, so we're putting it now clearly into focus. Look, it's not much of a raya, I'm afraid, because you're limited to the information that you put in. What were you saying? The Torah was Mekel. Lagabi, what was it Mekel? The Torah said that if there's bleeding before the Leda, we're going to be Mekel from Tumas Ziva, correct? If this was not a time for Ziva, we would not have been Mekel on that. We would have been Metameher Tumas Nida. Yes? Okay. Okay, very good. I am willing to follow your Kal Vachomer to the bitter end. I'm going to be Mekel Alel. She doesn't have to keep Shivas Nikiyim. Now are you happy?
The Koshi in the Braisa is during the 80 days of that she's delivering again?
It's the same thing. We're just expressing it in a way that sets it up very clearly. But, I mean, why shouldn't she not be Tamei to Masnida? So I'm willing to accept your Kal Vachomer, no? So now prove to me that she's not Tamei as a Nida. I'd like you to see me prove that. Amrullah said, okay, you know what? We'll rephrase the Kal Vachomer in such a way that we don't have to have access to the question of Zivas or Nidas. Let's rephrase it like this. Hareinu Meshivin Lachomer Lashon Acher. Let's put it another way. ומה במקום שהחמיר בשופי שלפני הוולד הקל בקושי שאימו? How about in a place where you have regular bleeding before delivery, and there the Tera was machmir? Forget about whether this is done of Midas and Zivus. If there's bleeding before delivery of any kind of bleeding, and there's no pain that's involved, the Tera is machmir. Correct? Now, I'm not talking about Midas and Zivus. Anything. Nonetheless, if there is some pain that's associated with it, then there is also some kula associated with it. Some kula. You're right, it depends which kula. Zivas, Nidas. But there's certainly a kula associated with bleeding with pain. Correct? We're ready to accept that. Forget about what the kula is. You're making a big deal about what the kula is. And you're saying, well, now wait a minute. The piece that you inserted here was the fact that the Torah didn't give her to Mazivas. So that's the most that you can derive out of the Kal Vachomer, is that the Torah didn't give her to Mazivas. Fine. Okay, we accept that. We're going to rephrase it. It's not the point of whether the Torah gives her to Mazivas or not. It's the point that when there's pain with bleeding, the Torah is less machmir than when there's no pain with bleeding. Is that a valid point? Good. Okay, so now, in a case where hekel b'shofi, where the Torah is mekel on bleeding without pain, even without pain, namely after a vlad, after giving birth, so koshikain, if there is pain, the Torah will be mekel after a birth. There you go. There we don't have any access to the question of zivas or nidas. We're not coming to tell you what the kula is. We're simply pointing out a logical inconsistency to be more machmer during your mei tohar on bleeding with pain than you would be on bleeding without pain. It's logically ridiculous. If the Torah is going to be meiko because of the pain before the leida, why will it be machmer on pain after a leida?
This is talking about
the
case of one day versus two.
Whatever. Okay. But the bottom line is, pain is a reason to be mako, not a reason to be machmir. That's all that we're showing you. Forget about what the mako or the chumra is, okay? Amar Lahem, he said, you know what? You can rephrase this Kal Vachomer any number of times. I'm willing to sit here until infinity. But you will never get away from the logical reality, my dear friends. You could try covering it up. That's all very nice. But it's just a cover-up, because the bottom line is the requirements of a Kal Vachomer is that the output can never exceed the information in the input. Period. Now, do we admit that the input information, once it's analyzed, is that pain before Leda is not Matame Zivas, but is Matame Didas? Yes or not? Yes? Then there's no way that the output can ignore that. Pain Leachar later will not be Matame Zivas, but will be Matame Didas. Thank you, gentlemen. Will you figure out some way in which you can enter a different universe and tell me a different Kal Vachomer? That's fine. But in this universe, you're not going to get away with it. So afilu atem meshivim kol hayom kulo. You can figure out different ways all day long, and I will sit here. You figure out all the different ways you'd like to phrase this. But phrasing doesn't change the facts. And the bottom line is, Dayo lavo minadin liyot kinadon. You cannot derive more information than you inserted. Mima hekel alea. I'm going to still always ask you. You keep claiming the Torah is mekel. Tell me what the kula is. Oh, it's that she won't become a zava. Lovely. I think I will agree with you. It's a great kula. And I agree with you, Kal Vachomer. And after a birth, absolutely, bleeding cannot make her a zava. You're right. I still say she's tayah. Now tell me why she's not tamei. I'm just agreeing with you. She's not a zava. Abo betama to masnida. Omar Rava said, Rava, bahazachino Rabbi Eliezer Rabbanan. You know, there's no way out of it. He's right. Rabbi Eliezer is right. I mean, if you think about it, what was the whole mucker of this halacha that dam koshi is taught? What's the mucker? The mucker was the pasuk. Then it said dama. Dama with the mapike. Remember? Dama machmat atzma velo machmat vlad. If you guys want to be consistent, just forget about your Kal Vachomer for a minute. Let's take a look at the Mokar in the Torah. If you insist that the word Dhamma means Dhamma Machmad Vlad when it comes to the Matamihers, you're saying the only Dham that will be Matamihir is Dhamma with a Mapike that's coming straight out of her, that doesn't have any other Mokar. Okay. It uses exactly the same Lashon when it's talking about which Dham is not Matamihir. Because it says Vitihara Mimikor Dhameha. Again, her Dham. What do you mean, her dam? Obviously, her dam. Who else's dam is she going to become Torah from? Ella is stressing. What do we mean when we say that a woman is given Tahira Mimikar Dameha only in the Mikar Hadamim that comes from the natural process of the recovery from the birth, but not bleeding that is coming because it's being triggered by some other birth, which is going to come? And in that, forget about the conversations about the Kal Vachomer and how you understand Daya. Fine, that may be a very fundamental machlokas about the nature of Daya's effect on the Kal Vachomer, of whether we need to have the specific information when we enter the details of the Kal Vachomer, or whether we just simply need to establish that something is either Kal or Chomer. Okay, I accept that. But Rebbe Eliezer is 100% correct in terms of the logical consistency of how you understand the word domera. Either the hay is meaningful or the hay is not meaningful. It can't only be meaningful when it's talking about which dam is tamei, and it's saying the only dam that's tamei is the natural dam that comes from her, but not from not bleeding from birth. It works in the inverse too, when it's coming to tell you which dam isn't tamei, and it's saying the dam that isn't tamei is the dam that's coming after a birth, but not dam that's coming after a birth that's being triggered by another birth that's about to arrive. It's the same exact deal. If you hold of one, you have to hold the other. And therefore, I say, Rebbe Eliezer wins this one. This round is his. So, Hachinami, Domea Machmat Atzma, Velo Machmat Vlad. Now, you may say, going back now to Rebbe Eliezer, Ema, Bimei Nida Nida, Bimei Ziva Ziva. Bimei Ziva Torah, I'm sorry. You might say that what Rebbe Eliezer ought to have said, look, you agree with the din of our Kal Vachomer, right? All you said was Dayo Lavo Min HaDin. Okay, now, that means that logically you agree. If I can create a case in which right now she's in the middle of Yemei Ziva, then you admit that if there's new bleeding together with contractions for an upcoming birth in the middle of Shmonim Shel Nekeva, that she's Tahara, based on Kal Vachomer. The only reason that you were arguing with me is because you said, well, but Yemei Tohar is not the days of Ziva, right? So therefore, we can't say that it's Tahara, that's all. But how about in a case where it would be Bimei Ziva? So let's say that, in fact, she now was originally after this birth. You're agreeing that there were days of Nidas. You're claiming there's days of Nidas. Okay, fine. 7 days, days of Nidas. She bled. Now she's Tamei. Thank you. She goes to the mikvah. Now she bleeds again. Now it's the middle of Yemei Zivas. Okay? So now if she bleeds again from this upcoming birth, what should be the halakha according to you? Should be tar. Which means that for the first 7 days, that's the most that you can claim. The woman is about to have a baby. She spots every day now. It's, let's say, the 70th day after the previous delivery. Okay? She's in the middle of Yemei Tayar. You're claiming she spotted with pain. She's Tamei. Okay, very good. 7 days, she's Tamei. Let her go to the mikvah at the end of the 7 days, because you said she's Tamei as Anita. Now starts 11 days in which she's a Zohar. Okay. She continues to spot with pain, and the delivery comes now 5 days later. What's the din? You said, you gave a blanket statement. Woman has pain for an upcoming later in the middle of Yemei Tayar. She's Tamei. Why? She went to the mikvah at the end of 7 days. She's continuing to bleed. Now you agree that there's a Kal Vachomer that says that be Meziva, which follows the Meditas,
right.
Meziva, she's Tahara. So why did you make this blanket statement and you said that Dam Keshi, Liakha Haleda, is always going to be Matame? I beg your pardon. Even when she talks to her, it doesn't work out. You should have said, Bimei Nida Nida, Bimei Ziva Tahara. How'd explain that? Says Rabbi Eliezer, because the Torah specifically says that we don't make those kind of distinctions after a birth. Why? Because the Torah says, Amar Kro, Teshev. Teshev, Shisha Yamim V'Shishim Yom, Teshev Bimei Tahara. Teshev means there is one state. That's what yeshiva means, a state of being. Teshev b'yamei Torah. Therefore, you cannot divide that state into yamei nidas and yamei zivas. There's no such division. The 66 days have one halacha. They are the yamei tehar. Once you cannot establish that yamei tehar are given even bekoshi for a coming later, you can't start saying, but if it hadn't been Yemei Tayar, then we would have counted 7 days of Nidas and 11 days of Zivas. It is Yemei Tayar. And the Torah is saying, Yemei Tayar remain Yemei Tayar. This happens to be bleeding that is not coming out of Yemei Tayar. You're right. And therefore the blood is stomach. Very good. But we're certainly not going to start dividing Yemei Tayar into days that are right for Nidas and days that are right for Zivas. That's an impossibility. Okay? So it turns out now that Rabbi Eliezer is perfectly consistent. He's not creating an imaginary division of Yemei Tayar into the continued days of 7-11. Of course we can't. The Torah says that these are unique days that give us a different state. Yeshiva of 66 days. Can I, on the other hand, say that any dam during these 66 days is Torah? Or is it only dam that's coming from the previous birth that the Torah is Matayah? I say the latter is the case. Only dam that's coming from the previous birth. Because since the dam that's coming now is being triggered by a new birth, and in this particular case the Torah never told us that dam of Koshi is Torah, because it's not now B'yamei Zivas, so she remains to me. Okay, so this Tainus Rabbis makes perfectly good sense. This is excellent. So far, so good. Okay?
What does the word mean literally?
He wins this round. So says Rabbis. It doesn't mean we have to believe Rabbis. La halacha. It's the task of the Rabbis. Kol achad asar yom becheskas tayra. Now it's not clear what this means. The 11 days following a ri'ya, the woman has a cheskas tayra. It isn't clear cheskas tayra vis-a-vis what. The Gemara is going to have four different approaches to what the meaning of that cheskas tayra might be. But it's a cheskas tayra. Now, yashvala halobatka. Suppose a woman, and we saw earlier that we have a takana that you're supposed to make a bedika, especially benogeh the dinim of tyrants, you're supposed to make a bedika in the morning, bedika in the evening, right? Suppose she didn't make a bedika, for whatever reason. She was a shagog, she forgot. Mensa, she was in an impossible situation to make a bedika. Hizida, for that matter, even on purpose. She decided, you know, I'm sick of these bedikas, I'm not making a bedika. V'lo batka. Nonetheless, she remains tahora. Higia sha'at vestav v'lo batka. On the other hand, if today is the day that she's expecting her period, and she doesn't do a bedika, then I raise it to me, huh? Then we have to assume that Erach bizman ibra, as the Gemara said earlier, this, as Tosfos points out, is true lechora only according to the Man D'Yomer who holds vestod d'oraita. In other words, that the din of a veset is a halacha in the Torah, that we have to assume that there was an actual re'iyah until we know otherwise. And therefore it's t'meiyah. Otherwise we couldn't say it's t'meiyah. Rabbi Meir Omer, and here is the famous, we've quoted this a few times before, Rabbi Meir Omer, im haita b'machba. If she was hiding out in an underground shelter from the Nazis, v'igia shat v'esta v'lo batka, And she has now, the time of her visit there while she's hiding out, and she doesn't do a bedika. Harei zo tahora, she is tahora mipnei shecharadam isalakit adami. Because in such a situation, the terror of the being found by the Nazis stops all of her hormonal activities, and she doesn't have to be choshesh that she saw blood. Aval yemei hazav v'hazava v'shomer yom kineged yom harelu v'cheskas tuma. On the other hand, the days of zivais, even of a shomer yom kineged yom, over there she has a cheskas tuma. In other words, if she had already seen dam, and she's now a shomer yom kineged yom, there, if she's not bodekes, the assumption is that she's roya. There's no such thing as having been roya dam as a zava during those days, even if it was only for one day, and saying, well, okay, I didn't notice any bleeding the next day. What do you mean, didn't notice? Did you check? I didn't check. Then she has a chazaka that she did see dam. And this, of course, is the union of making a hefsek tahara. It needs to be established that there was a cessation of bleeding. And then we can begin counting, and then, too, we have to continue to check. So once mayan patuach, which is the technical term, once the wellspring is open during Yemei Zivos, then until it's established that it's no longer open, and that there's no more re'ias, we can't be matayer. Or as, even as avik tam. No. But she can't be. She's always tamei. It's not. It will create new dinim to make her as avik tam. Okay. L'may hilchita. So now you said that she's becheskas. Opened up the Mishnah. All of the 11 days that she wasn't a zava, but she's ruya to be a zava. She's becheskas tayer. Lagabi, what is she becheskas tayer? Okay, four approaches we're going to have. The first approach is Omer of Yehuda Lomar Sheinat Zucha Bedika. It's not necessary for her to make a bedika in the morning and a bedika in the evening. And after the 11 days, she has to go back now to the Chiyav Min Rabbanan to make a bedika. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. Avraham Miktani Sefer Yashva V'lo Batka Mechlad L'Chatchila Boi Bedika. How can you say that? The very next words say, if she didn't make a bedika, nonetheless she's kaira. In the mashma, she was supposed to make a bedika. All you're saying is, but if she didn't make a bedika, even on purpose, she's still tahara. But was she supposed to make a bedika? If she wasn't supposed to make a bedika, it's a rather silly statement to make, that if she didn't make a bedika, that she wasn't supposed to make it. So of course she was supposed to make a bedika. So how could you say she's becheskas tahara, and that means she doesn't need a bedika? No, you don't understand, says Rav Yehuda. The Mishnah is talking about two different things. The first part of the Mishnah is talking about the 11 days. It's like, during the 11 days, she's becheskas tayra. Which means, you have to think to yourself, only during the 11 days, she's becheskas tayra. But the rest of the time, which is Yemei Nidais, then she does have to make a bedika. How about if she didn't make a bedika during the time that she was supposed to make a bedika? Namely, during her Yemei Nida. Even if she didn't make a bedika, she's still okay, but she should have made the bedika. And that's the difference between the two cases. So in other words, the Seifa is going on discussing Yemei Nida. Seifa atal Yemei Nida. Here's how to read the Mishnah. It's very clear. Kol ha-chadus ha-yom b'cheskas tayra. The saying is, 11 days, she has a cheskas tayra, meaning, v'lo b'ay bedika. Now, insert in your own mind, which implies, aval, b'mei nidata, not during those 11 days, boy bedika. Then of course she does require a bedika. Okay, now, what happens if she didn't make a bedika? Back to the Mishnah. Yashva v'lo batka, whether that was done by accident, shigaga or nens or hezida, and lo batka, tahara. Okay, are we happy now? Perfectly good explanation of the Mishnah. This is explanation number one. The difference between the first line and the second line is the difference between the yudal of yom. Is there a chiyav of bedika? Is there no chiyav of bedika? And the Mishnah is coming to explain where there's no chiyav and what the state would be where there is a chiyav when you didn't do it. That's very consistent. Very nice approach. Second approach, Rav Chisda's approach. Rav Chisda Amar, you know what the Mishnah means when it says, Kol HaKadosh HaYom B'Cheskas Tayra? It's going to the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Remember Rabbi Meir Shita before? Remeir Shita before was that a woman who does not have a veset, and she cannot predict when she is going to have a Re'iyah of Dam, is prohibited to have intercourse, because actually she has to be divorced. Because we never know whether intercourse will trigger a Re'iyah of Dam. And that would mean, since she wouldn't be sensitive to feeling the Dam at that point, so we'd have to be Kharshish, that there was a Re'iyah Dam with sensation, and that would mean she's a Nida D'oraisa. How can she sleep with her husband if that may be the case every time? Comes along the Mishnah to say, when do we have the chashash that a woman may have a trigger of Re'iyah because of Tashmish, Tafka, they may need a Tam? That's only during days in which, had she bled, that bleeding would have had a din of Nidas. But if we are now in the middle, we're in the 11 days after previous Nidas, it is not natural for her to bleed during that time, and therefore there's no hashash that she would bleed as a result of intercourse, and there's no Isser during that period. Abu Bimezi, Vata, Becheskat, Tara, Kaima. She can assume the best, that there's no bleeding. Of course, this leads to a terrible question. If that's the case, why did Rabbi Meir say she needs to get divorced? We always thought Rabbi Meir held there was always a problem. Now that Rav Chis is explaining that the mission is saying, but in those 11 days is not a problem. So for heaven's sakes, why does this poor woman have to get divorced? So fine, so she has a short period during the month in which she could sleep with her husband. But that's enough. So now, why the woman has to get divorced with an additional condition in the divorce that he will never remarry? Why? Because if we don't make such a condition, suppose she goes and marries somebody else and ends up establishing a period, and then the original husband finds out and he says, the whole divorce was a mistake. I love her. I never would have divorced if I would have known that there was a way for her to establish a period. So now it turns out that her wedding was an error. All her children are mamzerim, and she really was married to the first guy the whole time. Therefore, we have to insert in the get an understanding that he accepts upon himself that he will never be able to have this woman as a wife.
Where are the days of Zifta if she's never had a period?
What do you mean? She's always had her period. She just doesn't have a specific time to have her period.
That's right.
So what we're saying is the 11 days after her last period, after the end of her last period, after the end of the 7 days of Nidas, she doesn't have to worry about. So if that's the case, every time now she's in Nida, when she goes to the mikveh, she has 11 days to sleep with her husband. So why does she have to get divorced?
But we're saying
that this is the equivalent of a vesed. 11 days following the end of her previous period, when we say the end, we mean the halak again, 7 days after the onset of bleeding, the next 11 days is just the same as having a period. She definitely will not see during that time. Answers the Gemara will have to say that Einokinami and Dilma Achila Kukula Bene Nina, the only reason that she has to get divorced is because, not that she has no opportunity to sleep with him, but that we don't believe that they're going to restrain their relationships so that they only be doing those 11 days. Because the natural thing is that the woman is not bleeding, she seems fine, and ultimately they're just going to ignore this problem of the chashash, maybe she'll see b'shas tashash. Therefore, Tainas Rebbe Meir, this is not a workable marriage. It's not a halakhically workable marriage. Says the Gemara to Rav Chisda. Okay, I can't find any logical inconsistency in your explanation of the Mishnah. But there's definitely an inconsistency with the continuation of the Mishnah. You're claiming that the opening of the Mishnah is going Aliba to Rebbe Meir, who holds that a woman without a veset is not allowed to have relations with her husband. The problem is, the seifa of the Mishnah makes it rather clear that we are talking about a woman who has a veset, not the case given by you, like Rebbe Meir. Because, read the next line. I mean, it's only safer. Higia sha'at vesta, velo batka. What sha'at vesta? I thought according to you we're talking about a woman who doesn't have a shat vesta. So it says, Higia shat vesta v'lo baka. Obviously the Mishnah is talking about the call to be Isha Sheyeshua Vesa Taskina. And you're claiming we're talking about an Isha Shein La Vesa? No, says Rav Chisda. There's a piece missing in the Mishnah. It goes like this. Look, Achitan. And during those 11 days, she's Sharia Labala, she's Muteras to her husband. From which you derive, but, Bimei Nida Asura. Okay, what type of woman is Asura? Bi'isha, Bamed Var Mamurim, Bi'isha She'en La Vesa. Obviously, only, I mean, to say, to make a statement like that, any idiot understands what you're talking about. You make a statement that says, a woman is Muteras to her husband for 11 days. You say, what? Ah, we're talking about a woman who doesn't have a Vesa, you mean? Okay, I understand now. How about a woman who does have a veset? Ah, a woman who does have a veset, yigia shat vesta, then she has a problem. So I put in the words on my own. The Mishnah left it open. So bamed var mamurim, b'isha she'en la veset, abo yesh la veset. Of course she would be muteret all the time. Other than the fact is that she needs a bedika in the morning and in the evening, that we were koveya. How about if she doesn't make the bedika? She's still tahira. How about if she doesn't make the bedika on the day in which she was supposed to get her veset? Then she's tamea. Good. That's perfectly logical mishnah. Okay. So that's how to read it. Yashva v'lobotka, shagri v'anemse, zidav v'lobotka tahira, body, yashat vesta. Now the second woman that we were talking about who requires a bedika, v'bokro v'era, v'lobotka tamea. Okay, so far so good, but what about the next words? Rabbi Meir Omer, She'im ha'ita b'machba, right? That's the next word. Rabbi Meir says, if this woman was hiding out from the Nazis, kach v'kach v'kach. What do you mean, Rabbi Meir says? Tal Mishnah's Rabbi Meir. You said the opening of the Mishnah only made sense according to the special halakha of Rabbi Meir, that a woman who has no vesit kavua is not allowed to sleep with her husband, right? So why, all of a sudden, well, now we're introducing Rabbi Meir. What do you mean, Rabbi Meir says? Who else has been talking? Is Rabbi Meir from the top to the bottom? So I mean to say for Rabbi Meir, Reisha Lav Rabbi Meir. Apparently until this time, we were not talking about Rabbi Meir at all. We were talking about even Ali ben HaChachamim. So how can that be the explanation of the opening of the Mishnah? No, says Rav Chisda. Actually, Kula Rabbi Meir. The whole Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. The way to understand the Mishnah is like this. Im lo haita b'machaba. Look, what we're saying is like this. A woman who was supposed to make a bedika, in other words, if she has a shas veset, and there was no other circumstances to tell us that she's a mesuleket damin, like a rush of adrenaline. So then, if she wasn't in the machaba, v'yia shad vesta v'lo bakat tameya. Sherebi meir omer. Why do I say it this way? Because Rabbi Meir said that only a woman who was under incredible pressure and trauma would not have to worry about seeing her dam, Bishat Vesta. But if it wouldn't have been for that trauma, she would have had to worry. Therefore, we're explaining, since this is what Rabbi Meir says, and since we're following the sheet of Rabbi Meir, so a woman who was not in hiding from the Nazis would have to be precious for a vessel. So now the whole Mishnah is going to live in Rabbi Meir.
How can you put in a share of Rabbi Meir or something? You put in a shem, which changes the whole.
Yeah, it does. It does, but it's part of the Chisurei Machasa. So you have to understand that that's what the Mishnah means. Rava Amar, Rava says, now this is the third approach. So again, Rav Chisda is the we started off now with Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda's approach was Cheskas Taira means she doesn't need a bedika. The Mishnah continues to talk about Bimei Nida, she does need a bedika, and that's when it says, and if she didn't make a bedika, Rav Chisda says has nothing to do with bedika. It has to do with a woman who doesn't have a vessel. She's not allowed to sleep with her husband, but for the 11 days of Ziva, she is allowed to sleep with her husband. Any other woman doesn't have to worry about this problem, but she doesn't need a bedika. How about if she doesn't make a bedika? Kach v'kach, that's the rest of the Mishnah. Rava says, no, I have a third explanation. The meaning of the Cheskas Taira of the 11 days is to tell me, lomar she'ena metama, mi'es li'es. all along, and remember that the Masechta began with the fact that a woman who is Raya Dam has to be Cheshesh 24 hours before, or from the time of her last Bekida, her last Bedika, correct?
Right.
But if she's in the middle of the 11 days, she is the equivalent of a Mesulekit Damim, and she doesn't have to worry about seeing Dam. So if she sees Dam, we say, well, it's Tameya from this moment on only. Not Lekatchila. That's what it's referring to.
Says the Gemara, excuse me, but it also says the opposite of what Rava says, Beferish. It says in the Brisa, Anida, Vahazava, Vashomeres, Yom Kineged Yom, Vahayoledes, Kulumetamas Mehis Nies. I don't understand, Rava, what are you talking about? It says over here, Shomeres Yom Kineged Yom. How does a woman become a Shomeres Yom Kineged Yom? She sees Dam in the middle of the 11 days. Didn't you say that if she sees Dam in the middle of the 11 days, she's not Metame Mies Lies? Here it says, a Shomeres Yom Kineged Yom is Metame Mies Lies. Do you have a solution? I'm afraid it's a checkmate, Rava. Goodbye to Yuvta. Okay, so we're left so far with only two out of our three explanations because we just shot down Rava. Our fourth explanation in Mishnah is Ravuna Bar Chiya Amar Shmuel. You know what it means when it says that a woman is Becheskes Tyra during those 11 days? I'll tell you what it means. It means She'ena Kovat La Veset Petoch Yimei Zivata. A woman cannot have a Veset where the next Re'iyah, according to this Veset, falls in the middle of her 11 days. In other words, she cannot define for herself a cycle in which, by definition, the next time she's supposed to be Roya every time comes from having seen in the middle of the 11 days. So let's say she has three times a Re'iya that is 15 days following her previous Re'iya. That's called a Veset Haflaga, by the way. Haflaga means the number of days from the previous Re'iya, okay? She's mafleget 15 days. By definition, she has established, if we would allow such a thing, she has established a veset in the middle of the 11 days, because 15 days always lands up in the middle of the 11 days, because the 11 days is the cycle that starts 7 days after her re'iyah. So it's a total of 18 days, 7 days zivah, 7 day nidas, 11 days zivahs. If she is going to always have a cycle of 15 days, she's always going to expect her next Re'iyah in the middle of Yemei Zivas. Comes along the Mishnah to say that that is nonsense. And that if she has these 11 days are always Becheskes Tyra. I don't care if this has happened three times. It's some type of mad malfunction. But these 11 days are always defined as days in which she is not Chosheshes to see Dam, and she has a Cheskes Tyra. That's what it's referring to. Not talking about Batikas, not talking about Tashmish, not talking about Mies Lies. It's very simple. We are now on the subject of a new subject called Kviyot Veset. The Mishnah is coming to give you your first rule about Kviyot Veset. You cannot be Kovat a Veset in the middle of the days of Zivus.
But
she saw that she's all black. It's an accident. It's an accident.
It's a freak thing that she's still telling.
It's a freak thing that happened five times, but it's still freak. We are not going to establish something freaky as being what it is we're chayshish for. Yes.
If she bleeds,
she still bleeds.
But
I don't have to
establish it just in the message.
That's right. I don't have to be choshesh for it. Nor does it help me to say, this woman, we know when she gets her period. No. That's not a period. That's pathology.
So
she's a zebra. She's a zebra. Correct. I mean, assuming this pathology continues, then that would be true. But remember, in order for it to become a zebra, she would have had to have been Roya at the beginning of her needs.
So even if the...
So it won't happen.
So so she can still have.
Because in order, wait, this is important to establish. Because in order to create the case of Zivas again, it would mean that she needed to be a Nida in order to kick her Zivas back in, correct?
She won't be a Nida again.
And she won't be a Nida again until she finishes up her previous Zivas.
So even if this thing is going on fire.
Which is why, in practical terms, as we're going to explain in the Gemara, to save 15 days is an impossibility. Okay, but let's get to that. Okay. Now, Rabbi Yosef. This is a pathology. She needs a doctor. Says Rabbi Yosef, gee, I'm really shocked. You're quoting Shmuel. I know that I was a Talmud by him. How come I don't remember this? Lo Shmuel Liyashmaitza, I don't remember this. And of course we know that Rabbi Yosef was ill, and in his illness was unable to maintain all of his structured Gemara. He forgot a lot. So Amalei Abaya said, Abaya to him, it's you who taught it to us. So you obviously heard it. Atam bet Nialam, I'll tell you how it is that you taught it to us. You said that, you said like this, if the norm was that she saw every 15 days, now this is impossible, right? Because we just explained that you can't have such a norm. Okay, but this, you quoted it. And now she changes her period to the 20th day instead of the 15th.
Is
it the month or
15
days? 15 days after Laga.
Not to Bishvat.
She now has to worry both about the 15th day and about the 20th day. Because the rule is, once you have a Veset Kavua that was defined by three times repeating the pattern, which for a Veset Haflaga by definition means that there needed to be four Re'ias, because you don't get the pattern without four Re'ias. If you have four Re'ias, you can have three Haflagas between the Re'ias, correct? Okay, so once we've established with four Re'ias a pattern of 15 days between the Re'ias, and now on the fifth Re'iyah, it comes out to be the 20th day. The next time she's Raya, or the next time she's afraid that she might be Raya, she has to be afraid both on the 15th day, because that was her previous period, and she doesn't lose that until three times she skips it. So she only skipped it once. Instead of singing on the 15th, she ended up singing on the 20th. So she doesn't cancel her previous Ria. But next month, she has to worry about the 20th day. Because now, she saw one time on the 20th day. It's true that she wasn't Kova at the 20th day. However, there is a rule that says that one time is at least enough to be Choshesh for, even though it's not Koveya. If she misses that one time, she can then forget about it from then on. But if her three times was missed one time, she still has to worry about it. If it's missed two times, she still has to worry about it. Only if it's missed three times does she not have to worry about it. Okay? So that's the rule. Veset kavua, three times, has to be undone three times. A veset she'ena kavua, namely the last time that she was raya, she only has to be chayishish for one time. So now, she has to now worry about both days. Zevez Aser and Lashamez. How about Shinta Pamayim Loyom Ezri? She sees twice on the 20th day. Also, she has to still worry about now both days. Zevez Evasuri. And here's where you quoted Shmuel as saying that Ein Isha Kovat Laveset Betoch Acharas Hayom. Because when you quoted that, you said, however, gentlemen, I want you to know that my Rebbe, Om Rav Yudom Shmuel, said that when it says 15 over here, it doesn't mean 15. It means 15 days from the time she went to the mikveh from her previous Re'iyah, is what it means. Because how could it mean 15? If it was 15, it would have been in the middle of her 11 days. And that would not have been a veset at all. So that's how you taught it to us. You said, Loshna ela chamishasa litfilata. The meaning of 15 being a veset kavua is dafka if, after going to the mikvah on the 7th day, then on the 15th day after that, which is the 22nd day, from the time that she first saw Dam, on the 22nd day, yes, that's okay, because that's back and you may need us again. Okay, that's a rather strange period. It's a short period, but it's still an acceptable period of 22 days. But a period of 15 days is not possible, because it would bring you back to Yemei Zivas. And the Yud Alav Yom is not a time that you can be Koveya Zivas. Okay? So far so good? By saying those words, did you not make it clear what your Rebbe Shmuel said? That Ein Isha Kovat Laveset B'Tof Yud Alav Yom. So now you're claiming you don't remember. Now you remember? That's how you taught it to us. And furthermore, you explained that Loshna Elakamisha Selet Filata, which are Esrim Vishtaim Lariyata, that's 22 days from her previous onset of her Nidas, the Hata Mimei Nidatakoi, because then she would be in the middle of her Yamei Nidot. Avo Tetvav Lariyata, to speak of a period of 15 days from the time that she was Rayadam is impossible. Because a woman cannot be Kovat of Eset in the middle of the 11 days of Zivas. Omer of Papa, Amritza Lashmaitza Kameda Reviuda Midiskat. I said this over to Reviuda, and I wanted to know, Mikva Lo Kovat. Okay, I see what they're saying. They're saying that you cannot be koveya aveset in the middle of Yemei Zivas. In other words, seeing three times, literally on the 15th day, not on the 22nd, on the 15th day from the Re'iyah, would not make me have a period of 15 days that I would have to miss three times in order not to be chush. Understood. I'm still wondering, as all of us are, whether at least there's a chashash that she's established this strange pathological regia. So do we perhaps have to at least be chashash and give it the same din as a veset she'ina kavua at least? So mi chushma de ne chushma, if she's established this pattern to see every 15 days. So do we have to worry, let's say, you know, she shouldn't sleep with her husband on the 15th day? At least L'chumra, because it's some of L'vesta, I mean, at least once or something. Huh? Or is that we can ignore it completely? Or are you saying that she's not Kovat Veser? It's like she's Becheskes Taira Mamish. She's even Becheskes Taira for her husband. This is how Rashi understands the question. V'lom alei v'lo ishtik v'lom alei v'lo midi. Now, Rav Yehuda Midiskarta ignored Rav Papa. He did not respond to Rav Papa's question. Couldn't get an answer out of him. Whatever it was, he didn't respond. Amr of Papa, so Rav Papa said, okay, you know, you're leaving me to my own devices. I'll figure it out by myself. Nixiana, okay, well, let's figure it out ourselves. Let's analyze what it says over here. Hatala muda liyotro ala yom chamishas. Says over here, she used to see every 15th, and now she tala yom esri. Now she changed to the 20th. Zevizasurim, both the 15th and the 20th of us. Rav Yosef explained that Rav Yudah Mishmuel said, when we say 15, of course we mean 22. We mean 15 from the time of the tefillah. So Loshna ela tesvav the tefillah ta, which equal 22 l'riyata. So now when she changes to the 20th, we really mean the 27th. Vishinta l'yom esrim v'sheva, okay. So wait a second now, hold on, gentlemen. The next time, the next time 22 comes around, where is she holding? Remember, she's going to be choshesh for 22. Rav Papa is making the assumption that when we say she's choshesh for 22, it means she's choshesh for the pattern of 22. Now, this is a very important point. And let's understand clearly what's happening. When we say that she has to be choshesh for both, so that means that the next time she sees Dan, now she was kovat, not kovat, but now it happens on the 27th day from the previous Riyah, okay? She's now going to wait how many days before she has to worry? You think 22, right? Because she has to worry about 22 and 27. Rav Papa says, no, you misunderstood. When it says 22 that she has to be choshesh for, it means 22 from the 22, not 22 from the 27. In other words, what we have to do is we have to look at the calendar and make a little red mark on every 22nd day, whether she sees or didn't see. Well, 1 second, three times. She was kovat, a pattern, three times. So let's now mark the next three dates on the calendar. 22, 22, 22. Fine. She misses this 22. She goes to 27. Okay, let's make now a black mark at 27. Okay. Black mark from 27 means that 27 days from that Re'iyah, she's going to, so let's make another black mark 27 days later. Okay. Problem is that the red mark of the next 22 is going to turn out to be in the middle of the 11 days after the 27, isn't it? Right? Think about it. 27 is 5 days later. If we're still counting the 22, and the total period was 27, so she's now in the middle of her 11 days.
44 minus 27.
Mm-hmm. So I thought that a woman can't be kovat a haflaga into her Yemei Zivas. It's clear, says Rav Papa, therefore, that at least for worrying about it, she's got to worry about it, because it says over here she's going to have to worry about 22 anyway. So you see that you do have to worry about a period that was already established this way, even though it falls out the Yemei Zivas now. Is this clear? Because I don't want to proceed unless this is clear. Yeah. President?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is not...
By calendar days, man.
By calendar periods that have been marked off based on the assumption of a real which never occurred. The next red mark is going to be in the 11 days after the black mark, where she actually did see. Because it'll be within the 18 days after that Riyah. That's 18 days are still within the 11 days from the Riyah that she had, right? These 22 days started 5 days earlier that we needed to be Choshesh. So the next 22 days is going to bring us back 10 days earlier. Okay? Now, this is not the same question that Rav Papa asked, is it? The question Rav Papa asked is, can she create a chashash in the middle of her Yemei Zivas? Whereas the raya that he's bringing is that she can be chosheshes in the Yemei Zivas. His question was, when we say that she cannot create a period in the middle of Yemei Zivas, does that mean she can't create it at all, or can she create it at least to be doubtful about, right? His proof of the pudding is, well, over here she's going to be doubtful about a day in the middle of Yemei Zivas, which proves that you do maintain doubt in the middle of Yemei Zivas, right? Now, logically, the proof is not connected to the question. Because the question is, can you set up a problem in Yemei Zivas? Not if there was a problem that pre-existed, whether that pre-existing problem would force you to be choshesh during Yemei Zivas. That's a different issue. He's bringing a raya from the fact that I would be choshesh Yemei Zivas to the question of whether could I set up a chashash b'imei zivus in the first place. And it's not really a very good riot. Now, the Ron is bothered by this. What kind of riot is that? It's really a different case. Because in the case where she saw every 22 days, it was not during Yemei Zivas. It just happens to be that this particular time, it came out in the middle of Yemei Zivas. Maybe over there she has to be Chosheshes, but that doesn't prove that when you set it up in the first place that you would be Chosheshes for a Ria B'Yemei Zivas. Now there's no real way to get out of this problem. Because this is the reason other Rishonim learned the Gemara entirely differently than Rashi. Because the proof simply doesn't really follow. The Ran says that the Gemara apparently, the way Rashi's understanding it, the Gemara apparently takes Rapapa's question to mean, is it shayich to have chashashes of Re'iyah in the middle of the Yemei Zivas? I don't care whether the chashash is in terms of being koveya the chashash, or the chashash is in terms of worrying about something that was already kavua. I want to know whether Yemei Zivas is bichlal part of the equation, or we essentially ignore Yemei Zivas when it comes to Midas. And if that's the question, so then he has his proof. His proof is that looking at the red marks on the calendar, they're in the middle of Yemei Zivas, and you said you have to worry about it. Now, of course, the entire proof of Rav Papa is predicated on his assumption that we made little red marks on the calendar. Nobody agrees with this assumption. Because to say that we have a set haflaga every 22 days, that doesn't mean every 22 days whether or not she saw any blood. It means every time she sees blood, 22 days later she'll see again. Obviously, if she misses her period, we're not going to say 22 days from a period that she never had, she's going to have another period. That's crazy. At least, that's what everybody else holds. So there's a question over here, how to define these patterns. Are these patterns superimposed on the year? And we're saying, look, there exists a pattern that is built into the body. If somehow or other she misses one, that doesn't change the fact that now she has a cycle that is linked to the moon, and when it gets to that particular point again, she's going to, next time she will be Raya. Why? That's what Rav Papa says. This is a body cycle. It isn't a cycle that's dependent on the blood actually getting into the uterus, needing to go through a time in which now the body will clear the blood and so on. It's not triggered by blood in the uterus. It's triggered by a hormonal cycle which exists whether that took place or not. Okay? There's two completely different ways of looking at the concept of haflaga. So Rav Papa's entire raya is based on an assumption that the nature of Haflaga is irregardless of what happened in the course of that time in terms of her bleeding. This is a built-in rhythm in her body. The next time, there's no reason to assume she'll miss it just because she missed it once.
Sounds like Rabbi Meir a little bit. Let's say she missed it because she's afraid.
Right.
She's
five. That's basically how we look at it. Yeah. But I mean, it's not really dependent on that. Okay. Says the Gemara. Well, first of all, let's just see it inside. The Chihadri Belsu Esim Yitarte. When she gets to the next 22 on the calendar, Kaima Lobatov Yemezi Vata. She's still going to be now in the middle of the 11 days of her previous Re'iyah. Because remember, the 11 days are for sure defined not by calendar marks. The 11 days are defined by 7 days after her actual period. After onset of her actual period. Always. That's how it's defined, the 11 days. So that for sure is not linked to the marks on a calendar. Except, by the way, I must give you the awful news that we have to relearn the entire Masechet according to the Rambam. Because the Rambam learns that the 7-11 days are marked permanently on the calendar. Which changes every last circuit throughout the entire Masechet. Okay. But since there is no one else who not only agrees with the Rambam, there's no one who claims to understand the Rambam. We will not go into the Rambam's approach in the
sukkah. He's solid if he makes him.
Obviously, he's solid. He's so solid, nobody can figure him out. Although there's a beautiful Orach HaShulchan has an a 5-page analysis that clearly defines and explains the Rambam. But in any event, we don't follow the Rambam.
What does big 7-11 means? Like every
first time a woman sees blood, all of a sudden marks go on the calendar for the rest of her life. 7-11. You can imagine what a god awful mess that creates with the all of these dinners. Okay.
Wait, so what happens after the 11?
Now, it says here, V'katani zevazasuri, says over here that both of them will be awesome. Why? It's the middle of the 11 days. Alma kashinan. You see from here that we do have to be kashish for a vesef even in the middle of the 11 days.
Kashash.
But note, says the Gemara to all of us out here, note, gentlemen, learning the Daf Yomi Yerushalayim 1,000 years from now, that Kasover of Papa Esim v'tartim Yesim v'tartim Manina. That the 22 days are going to be counted from the previous mark on the calendar of 22 days and not from her actual Re'ia. Whereas obviously Nida Upitcha, the din of the actual Nidas, and the Petach of the Nidas, in other words, the 7 and 11, is going to be counted, of course, from the actual day of the Re'ia. No way. Once you're here, you're not getting out. That's a force field. That's why you can't leave. Until I release it, you're not going out. You'll just keep bouncing back in. You want to keep doing this for hours?
I lost my hat.
What the hat? Okay, I'll release it. Go ahead. Go quickly, Jeff. 10 seconds.
Right,
hurry up, quick. Nida upitcha, but the actual 7-11 is only going to be counted from the 27th day. Nesrim v'sheva manina. You see? That's what Rav Papa is assuming. So 22 is marks on the calendar. 7-11 can't be marked on the calendar. 7-11 has to start from the actual re on the 27th. That's how this happens. That's how the mark on the 22nd comes out in the middle of the 11 days of Zimas. Because the 11 days of Zimas were counted from the actual re, which took place on the 27th.
Right.
But that's what he thinks. And Rabuna, Rebbe of Yeshua, said to Rav Papa, where'd you get that idea from? Me, mine. What makes you think that the Haflaga of 22 days is written in stone on the calendar? Dilma Esther Vitardinagim Esther Vesheva Menina. Maybe the way to look at it is that, look, the woman has a vesef of 22 days, but obviously we count the 22 days from the time of the actual Re'ia, not the time of a theoretical Re'ia. So the next time that she saw in 27, she now has to be Chershish 22 days from that day of Re'ia. And 27 days from the time of that Re'iyah, in order to be Chashish for both days. But not 22 days from the day that she didn't have a Re'iyah. That's the way to look at it. Sedilma Esther Vitarkin, Nami Mi Esther Mishiva Menina. In which case, the Chiyad Rava Asu, when now then 22 days comes, it's certainly not going to be in the middle of the 11 days. It's 22 days later. So then, Kaima Lobatovka may need a thought. It's going to be in the time of her next Nidas, not in the time of her Zivas. Because we never are going to count a period in the middle of Zivas. And by the way, I mean, isn't that logical? Think about how these type of cycles in a biological fashion, how do they work?
They go on to each other, so you don't have...
Not cumulative. On the contrary, they're restarted.
That's what I meant.
Oh, okay, fine. I always have a trouble with you. You and Moshe Baruch always select the word that to me means the opposite of what... But fine, as long as we understand each other. It's obviously logical like that, because if you're not going to say that... Let me give you an example. You're a chicken farmer, okay? Mm-hmm. You know about chickens? Let's think about chickens. Now, you've got a chicken that lays an egg every other day, okay? So the Tanagot is Ramya Yuma, the Kavsha Yuma. Now her egg is the equivalent of this woman's nidus. It's a biological pattern now that has to do with reproduction. So she lays an egg, she misses a day. She lays an egg, she misses a day, okay? That's this Tanagot has a Veset Kavua. Now, all of a sudden, she misses 2 days. Kofsha treyumi, okay? So now she misses 2 days, and she lays a day, okay? If she's going to go back to her previous cycle, is she now going to lay an egg the next day in order to make up for the missed day that she didn't lay the egg? Because today she was supposed to lay an egg if she hadn't missed the day in between. So now, what do you think? She's going to lay an egg 2 days in a row? Because after all, I mean, she's trying to make up for last time. Isn't that ridiculous? Even if she goes back to her previous vet set, she's going to lay an egg a day later instead of 2 days later. But she's certainly not going to lay an egg tomorrow.
It sounds reasonable.
Sounds reasonable. So why do you think this is any different? This is the same type of biological mechanism of your chickens out there. And you'd never think that you should go back the next day to find that magic egg that came back in 24 hours. So let me tell you something. You should not look at the magic re'ia of this woman in the middle of her Yemei Zivas because of the time that she was supposed to be seeing, which she didn't see. Now that's plain common sense to me. See, ki hadra nakta, kila kamei nakta, kidami kara nakta. What do you think? She's going to go back to the way she was? And today's the day that she was supposed to have an egg? Of course not. Obviously, al kocha kila kamei nakta. She's going to begin now from this point on, going back to her previous cycle of one day yes, one day no. Omale Rav Papa, so Rav Papa said to Rav Huna, oh yeah? So then, how do you understand Hard the Omar Reish Lakish. Isha kovat la veset betof yumei zivata. The ain't Isha kovat la veset betof yumei nidota. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Isha kovat la veset betof yumei nidota. Now this is very confusing. It appears on the surface that Reish Lakish is saying the exact opposite of Shmuel. No, Shmuel is saying a woman can never be kovat a veset in the 11 days. She can only be kovata veset in the Yemei Nidas. Comes along Reish Lakish to say a woman can only be kovata veset the Yemei Ziva and not the Yemei Nidas? That's mad. I mean, every normal veset is always the Yemei Nidas. Well, what could he possibly be talking about? Now, Tosus learns that indeed, in making this statement of Isha Kovatla, the first part of the statement, Isha kovat la veset betoch yemei zivata. In fact, Reish Lakish is arguing on Shmuel. Rashi and many other Rishonim said it has absolutely nothing to do with Shmuel. What we're talking about is two completely different phenomena. One which is called Mayan Patuach and one which is called Mayan Satum. Let us recall the way Rashi explained Reish Lakish the first time we had Reish Lakish. Now, it was before on Daf Yud Aleph, and I would ask you to go back there so we could see how simple it is to see the explanation for Reish Lakish. Says the Gemara on Daf Yud Aleph, after the Gemara of the Mishnah. Hey, Nikal Rip Shimon ben Lakish the Amar Isha Kovat La Veset Petok Yemei Zivata. Explains Rashi. Says Rashi, Mitok Yemei Zivata. How would a woman be Kovat La Veset Petok Yemei Zivata? For instance, says Rashi, she sees Dam on Rosh Chodesh, and now she sees Dam again on the 15th of the month. Now, there we go. That's the 15th. That's the middle of Yemei Zivas, correct? We said that you can't do that. You can't be Koveya Veset in the 15th. Fine. She wasn't Koveya Veset yet. It's the 15th. Now, and right there, the 15th, she's Omedes B'Yom and Shivu Yelaziva, isn't she? Dino Yud Alev Yom. These are the 11th days. She Ben Yidla Dina. Now, what happens is, she once again sees Dam on Rosh Chodesh. The next Rosh Chodesh. 15 days later, she became Tahira, she kept the Shiva Snechiyan, she went to the mikveh, she's now ready to be a Nida again. Comes Rosh Chodesh, again she sees Dam on Rosh Chodesh. The thing is, that again she sees Dam on the 15th. Okay, sees Dam on the 15th again. The third month, she does not see Dam on Rosh Chodesh, and she only sees Dam on the 15th. Now, how do we look at this? Do we look at it as actually her period was on the 15th? It's just that she basically had a pre-period re'iyah on the Rosh Chodesh before. There was a lot of Dam, let's say. and the body was not yet functioning correctly to get into this new period of the 15th. Because the third time around, she wasn't seeing Dham in the middle of Yom HaSivis. The third time around, it turned out that the 15th day of the month, remember we're talking about over here, not Haplagah, day of the month. So the third time she saw on the 15th of the month, she saw Dham from a Mayan Satum that had not been bleeding before, right? That's our question over here. In other words, we could say, obviously, if she keeps seeing blood 15 days after her period, that's ridiculous. You can't have a period 15 days later. But if we see that we've established that there's always Re'iyah on the 15th day of the month, and there was also a Re'iyah twice on Rosh Chodesh, the third time seems to say, you know what? The Re'iyah of Rosh Chodesh was an early expression of the Dham that came out on the 15th. She was just bleeding early. But her real bleeding for her menses was meant to be on the 15th. And therefore, she now has three 15ths. She wasn't koveyat betoch yamei zivata, where she hadn't been bleeding before. That's the thing. So, of course, Reish Lakish agrees with Shmuel. You can't, if she would have seen again on the 15th, it would have meant nothing. Because, I'm saying if she had seen it following the Rosh Chodesh, it would have meant nothing because it would have been in the middle of Yom HaSivis. The question over here is whether do we look at it as having occurred Yom HaSivis? That's the Shaila. Shmuel wasn't addressing that question. Shmuel was only addressing the question of whether the Etzem Yom HaSivis can you be Koveya HaFlaga, correct? Okay. So now that we have Rashi's explanation of Reish Lakish, let's ignore Reish Lakish for a minute and take a look at Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Isha Kovat Laveset Betoch Yimei Nidota. Now, obviously every woman is Kovat Laveset Betoch Yimei Nidota. This is an absurd statement. The meaning of Rabbi Yochanan is that a woman can be Kovat Laveset even during her current Yimei Nidota. How does that make sense? What do you mean? You mean, that's crazy. You're telling me she's got 7 days. So she can have a period 5 days later, even 15 days later, we said was crazy. Now you're coming to tell me in the middle of her current nidos, she can be koveya veset. What? Now, says Rav Papa, obviously Rav Yochanan is not crazy. What is he trying to tell us? I'll tell you what the case is. And then you'll see that I'm right. Because the case has got to be nechidami. I mean, what do you think the case is? Lav kigon must be like this. She sees blood on Rosh Chodesh. And then she sees again on the 5th of the month. In the middle. So she now has a Mayan Patuah. She sees blood again on Rosh Chodesh. And again on the 5th of the month. And now she sees blood only on the 5th of the month. And not on Rosh Chodesh. Ah. There you go. So, that means, the way Rabbi Yochanan is looking at it, is that actually we had a veset for the 5th of the month, very similar to what Rashi said in Reish Lakish. Actually, we had a veset for the 5th of the month, and what happened is that the blood was early for 2 months, and that really the body had not yet completely established this new veset, but now it's clear. It's a veset for the 5th of the month, despite the fact that it was Mimayan Patuah. Despite the fact that for 2 of those months, there had been already bleeding before, and therefore you would have thought, I mean, so the 5th has no significance, because all 7 days of Anita she could be bleeding, and it's all looked at being part of the first bleeding. It's not looked at as being a new bleeding, but once we've established it, and we say, look at this, I mean, this can't be a coincidence. The woman always started bleeding, she stopped. And you ignored her bleeding on the 5th day of her period because you said, what's the difference? 5th day of her period, 6th day of her period, 7th day of her period, 3rd day of her period. It's all part of the same period. But now you see, don't you, that it's not true. You should have looked at it very carefully. Because now in retrospect, it was clear that there was something about that 5th day that renewed the flow of blood. And now the way to look at it is, apparently the main flow was meant to be on the 5th day of the month. And there had been some early pre-bleeding, pre-menstrual bleeding, that had been the time we heard the previous 2 months.
But you start just the Rosh Chodesh
nefit, her story's nefit. What had happened for years before that?
She had a baby before that.
There was no Rosh Chodesh.
We started all over it.
No Rosh Chodesh.
Right.
Yeah,
I thought we brought this case in before one time. Hmm? First, fifth, and they said we couldn't fix it on the fifth. Did we bring this case in once before?
That's the Machlokas, yes, that's what we did. We had the Reshulchan of Yochanan earlier, that's the Olive. This is the second time we're discussing that. Now.
The Rabbi said that in the beginning of Shir, three to make, you need three to undo. He said if you're just one, then it's just one to undo. But now we're talking about a case of two, isn't it? Or does it just still apply then?
No, it's a case of three. 1, 5, 1, 5, 5.
Right, so the ones, though, don't count as...
The ones don't count because they were only twos. Two ones.
And they don't count at all. Right. So it's like one one.
Yeah. So the only thing we look at is the... Now, but what did Rabbi Yochanan say? What did Rabbi Yochanan say? He called the third...
Re'iyah.
Bimei.
Nidatas.
Oh, isn't that interesting? Why? I wonder why he called it Bimei Nidatas. I mean, after all, she wasn't bleeding now, was she? But she was supposed to bleed. So in other words, when we're talking about a pattern, what defines the time of the pattern? The theory defines the time, not the actuality. I mean, otherwise it's a ridiculous statement. You weren't kovei nidus in the middle of your nidus. This was the yemei nidus. This was the beginning of the yemei nidus. So you see that when we use the phrase that you're going to be chasheshes for something, we mean by a mark on the calendar. We don't mean by the actuality. So I'm right, says Rav Papa. This is the way we use, this is the logic of the whole thing.
Rosh Chodesh had been marked.
Rosh Chodesh had been marked. So it's be may nidus. So therefore, the Ka'amar, and what did Rabbi Yochanan say? What did Rabbi Yochanan say? Huh? I asked you, Rabbi Yochanan, what did he say? He said, Isha kovad lavezet betoch yemei nidota. Hama mireish yarcham anina. So are we counting yemei nidota from Rosh Chodesh, even though she never ever saw nidot from Rosh Chodesh? Yes, we are. Don't turn around to me and say, why would we talk theory? Go argue with Rabbi Yochanan. Leave me alone. Omar Lay says, Rabbi Yochanan, well, you know, I'll tell you. If that's what Rabbi Yochanan meant, you'd be right. But you don't know anything about what Rabbi Yochanan meant. I'll tell you what Rabbi Yochanan meant. He was not referring to that case. He explained his case, and it wasn't the way you explained it. Hakiyam Rabbi Yochanan. Kagon de Chazoy Reish Yarcha, the case was like this. The woman sees on Rosh Chodesh. And then she sees again on Rosh Chodesh. And then she sees on the 25th of the month, and she bleeds again on Rosh Chodesh. Now, was the third Rosh Chodesh in the middle of her Yemei Nidos? Darn right it was, because if she started on the 25th, she is going to hit Rosh Chodesh, come hell or high water. So now when she sees on the third Rosh Chodesh, she saw Yemei Nidos.
The Yemei Nidos.
And there, says Rabbi Yochanan, she was kovad three times on Rosh Chodesh, despite the fact that the third time was in the middle of Yemei Nidos. That's what he meant. Because the way to look at it is that since she's already expressed three times seeing on Rosh Chodesh, clearly the previous Riyah on the 25th was a premenstrual bleeding, and the real menses is on the Rosh Chodesh. And there, the use of the word Yemei Nidosa is absolutely essential, according to anybody, without any kind of imaginary calendars that Rav Papa likes to imagine. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan was referring to. The Amrinan, in such a case, we say, so why did she bleed this time earlier on the 25th? Domei Yeteri Yudiyu Tosfuba. There was extra blood in the uterine lining, and the body basically gave extra time to wash it away. Whatever. What do I care? Bottom line is, the main date was Rosh Chodesh, and there was early bleeding over here. The Chen Kiyosa Rabin, you know what? When Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael, V'chol Nechutzei Yama, they all explained it like Rav Huna Bereder of Yeshua, and not like Rav Papa. Because Rav Papa had to assume that we're calling it Yemei Nida, even though there was no Yemei Nidas. A theoretical Yemei Nidos, that's not called Yemei Nidos. And the way that Rabbi Yochanan explained it is indeed backed by everybody. It was literally b'yamei nidais. What it means is, it was mitoch mayan patuach, that it's possible to be koveya veset, b'toch mayan patuach, which is a tremendous chiddush, and which is very nogea la'alecha. Because it will often happen that a woman doesn't realize, when she's keeping track of her riyos of dam, she will not realize that her third riya actually was koveya veset, because she'll think, oh, so this time it turned out to be on the 25th of the month. Okay, so I'll forget about the previous, the previous riyas. She won't check to see whether she also saw 5 days later. And therefore it will be part of the previous riyas. And this is something that is, we paskin halacha, and that people generally ignore because they're not aware of the subtlety of a kviyas veset in this fashion. We talk about yam patua. Hadron alok benot, kusim. Yotzei dofen, ein yoshvin alav yimei tum'ah, v'yimei tahara, v'ein chayavim alav korban.
Wow.
Whole new world.
You're making a new kviyat veset.